illegal broadcasters. Just because we play what the people want.
Ha, ha, ha.
So them a call us
pirates.
Them a call us
illegal broadcasters.
PTI try stop us, but they can't.
Pa, pa, pa,
we'll
pa,
do
pa,
it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Welcome to the Interracial Drawn Podcast. I'm your host, at Leslie Mack, and I'm joined as always
by a very white guy.
And you are very white indeed.
You know, I take umbrage with that.
Why?
I don't know.
You are very white.
I know, I'm just fucking
indeed.
I've been toning my whiteness down a little bit, though.
Have you?
I've been trying.
Hadn't noticed.
It's hard. like 10 billion candle power lumens of whiteness down to like 9,999.
Shine bright like your whiteness.
Lumens of whiteness.
Shine bright like your whiteness. Yeah.
Like, is it like a little bit less brighter than the brightness of a million suns? I don't know. But
I don't know either. If you're just joining us for the first time, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can also find us on our website, interracialjohn.com. And of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, at Interracial John. Again, J-A-W-N. So what's going on, dude?
Snow? What snow? It's blizzard bullshit.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I'm just disappointed. I just was I was like ready for.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll get to that later.
All right, you want to go right into the news?
Let's do it.
The news is coming on. The news is coming on.
You just listened. I know. All
she's the grass. We'll start with a short audio from one Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. I know how much you love him. Here he is giving some quick advice on his show this week.
I'm sure it'll be good.
Where he writes, I have been a 700 Club partner for many years. I am 67 years old and still working because retirement money does not cover our basic expenses. I was thinking about a reverse mortgage, but have doubts. What do you think?
I'm going to stop right there real quick.
This is a letter they wrote into him?
Yes. The important thing to note is I have been a 700 Club partner, which means they're paying the 700 Club to be a partner. That's something that you have to pay for. I just want to make sure that's generally clear in the context of what this woman's asking. Okay, here we go.
All right, here's the deal on reverse mortgages. they will not take your house away from you as long as you are alive and live in it. When you do leave... you don't have to pay it off, but somebody has to pay it off, namely the United States taxpayer. So it's not a good deal for the taxpayers, but for most people it's a pretty good deal. But you need to analyze what you're talking about and get an advisor to help you on it. But it could be a good deal for you.
That is the most non-information information. What the hell was that even
about? A few things. When he says, but when you leave, like, okay, he should have clarified, when you die, you don't have to pay it back. When you leave, if you leave the house,
this
you do have to pay back.
When you leave and go to the heavens,
if you leave the house, just like move, you do have to pay. So that's the first thing. Secondarily, your heirs won't get your house most generally if the loan isn't paid.
No, they sell the house and use the
exactly
the pay off what you've drawn,
right?
And then whatever's left goes to probate, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep. And of course, you're still responsible for all the general house. You know, home costs that are associated with owning
taxes,
home. Taxes, insurance,
new
all
roof,
those things,
all that shit. Absolutely.
So thanks for the advice there, Pat. Just making sure your money keeps coming in. We gotcha.
It feels a little bit like Montel Williams.
Oh my God.
Doing
the quick day. Is it quick day loans or is he doing reverse loans? I don't watch. I just fast forward.
I remember it's like, if you've got a paycheck and a job and a so-and-so, you're qualified. Like,
yeah,
what?
Thanks a lot, Montel.
It just seems real like, I don't know. Like, there's one thing to be like, you're stupid and you say crazy shit and you're doing it for the money. Like, I don't know, like Ben Carson, Don Lemon, all them dudes, whatever. But it's another to then like shill like really bad shit for like wealthier white dudes to your audience.
Right.
Like Montel doesn't own that quick day loan things. He's just a paid fucking spokesperson. Even if he did own it, it'd be like fucking shame on you. Those are like the most predatory like arrangements ever.
It is.
And so what's the deal on reverse mortgages? Like they're pretty predatory too, right?
Yeah. I mean, they can be good. They can be appropriate for certain people, but certainly it's not something you should be advising someone to do. And for the reasons that I just said, which is that if you have to move at any time, you have to pay the loan back. The interest rates are incredibly high because the idea that you'd be doing this very late in life, 67 is not the age first of all. Sorry, like Pat.
90-something, maybe.
Yeah, 85-plus, maybe. But definitely not a 67-year-old that's still working. That sounds like you need to evaluate your income versus your expenses.
If
not
you're able to
getting a reverse mortgage.
And let's be clear. If you're able to do a reverse mortgage, that means you own the home.
Right.
You have no lien on the house whatsoever. Right. You own it outright. I don't know. Sell it? Like move into like a cheaper apartment or something. Like there's all kinds of options. Then I'm not saying a reverse mortgage like is horrible. I don't know anything about it, but nah, I don't. It doesn't sound like it. And Patch, he of the like wasn't the last time he was in the news talking about you could get AIDS from towels and visiting Africa, like towel AIDS. Don't take advice from him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stop with any advice coming from Pat Robertson. Boo,
boo hoo. Also today, when Philip Phillips. American Idol winner.
He was like 3 seasons ago?
I think maybe in 2. I don't know which season.
He played the guitar and sang.
Yeah, another white guy with guitar, WG squared.
Is that a model for American Idol?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's like, that's who guitar? Wins, no matter what. White guy with guitar, always. Anyways, he filed suit today, alleging, among other things, that he was made to perform for free and left out of important decisions in respect to his contract with 19 Entertainment. He says they have manipulated him. In the filing, he says that the company manipulated him into accepting jobs that were for the benefit of 19 and its affiliates. He said he had to perform, quote, without compensation in a live show promoting the company JetBlue on February 18, 2013. He also alleges that 19 repeatedly withheld important career information from him, claiming that the title of his latest album was decided without his input and was announced to the press without him knowing it.
What? Seriously? That? Wow. I mean, there's some overstepping of bounds.
Like, damn, you just
this is your album.
His thing is like, okay, let's just say you decided it. At least tell me before you tell everybody
else. For real,
else.
Dude. Like, somebody so tweets you. So I love the name of your new album.
What name? What name? Exactly.
What are you talking about? That's kind of crazy. Well, and you know, like, it, I don't say it doesn't surprise me, but like name an American Idol star that stays with 19 management past the like
none of
whatever
them.
Contract obligation. Right. In fact, there's been multiple times, I can't remember who specifically, but I remember in a season somebody got through, got to the top 20, looked at the contract and like, nah, I ain't doing your top 20. Thanks. Mm. I don't know if they're a star now, but they just read the restrictions and the covenants and was like, fuck. No way. I'm giving you guys like everything for the next bunch of years. Certainly hasn't worked out well for Candace. Is it Graham? Candace Glover?
Glover.
Yeah. Candace Glover. Where the fuck's her album? Has that even come out yet? She won that shit a year ago. Literally a year ago, right?
Yes.
And that's 19, right?
That is 19.
You don't have a choice.
Yeah, you sure don't. Yeah, he alleged a whole bunch of other stuff. Like they forced him to use specific producers, and even though he was told that he was going to have more control than the producer, that didn't end up happening. He said that
the last thing they want is for you to get writing credits on anything.
Right. And then the other issue is that they would be booking him for things, and they're really, by nature of their agreement, not supposed to be able to do that because they're not his agents.
They're double dipping.
So it's kind of was there's a gray area there, because in their mind, they're like, well, we're marketing for your music and your album, which management would handle, but you're also booking him to gigs he's not getting paid for, which would not be something that your agent would do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, and there, let's be real. If you work under, let's say, a completely different, you work for CBS, right? You know, Interscope, Geffen, whatever label you work for them, and your management or somebody says, hey, listen, the label's having a showcase. We can't pay you, but it would really be great. You could help out this person a lot if you did it. A lot of times, I would be like, for sure, no problem.
Right.
No problem. But don't be like, hey, we got this gig for you. Like, it's an unpaid showcase for the label you're at. That's
right.
A little sketchy. And I always thought, too, with the 19 and the arrangements, and you and I have had this discussion numerous times. I don't think there's ever an end to it, but the chicken to the egg in terms of what people like and want and desire, and you know, my taste, the things that I think that I like, are they shaped because of the shit that's been produced and presented to me via radio music and other means? And even now, I'd say the discovery of new music, different music, has expanded the internet, Spotify, all these different ways of consuming music. But shit, the world of actual music that's been produced that I've never laid ears on is, you know, unfathomable. now what about the world that's never been produced, you know?
Right.
Like, so I don't know how much of it is the taste that I have versus this is just what's been shaped.
What's that got to do with Philip Phillips?
So I always felt like with Idol and 19, they're almost they're abusing that scenario a little bit too much, where it's like, here, we're going to create the interest by having the TV show, and then we're going to give you the single on the end of the TV show. And it's just a little, it's almost like the guy in Florida that made all the boy bands NSYNC.
Yeah, actually, Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, it's a little Lou Pearlman-esque. And for today's day and age in terms of music, I don't like it, but...
I have to disagree. I mean, aside from this post-show situation, I don't think anybody goes into American Idol thinking they're going to discover new music. Now, discover a new artist, that's something that they are made to deliver on. And I think that they deliver on that promise. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. No offense, but who the fuck would know who Kelly Clarkson or Carrie Underwood or Fantasia Barrino was, except for American Idol plucked them and decided that they were going to be able to have a platform and people like them.
They're clearly doing something right.
I have to disagree. I don't think they ever put anything as far as new music out there. Nothing is original on the show. It's a cover show.
No, I'm not asking you to be new original, but what I mean by is there's a shaping of the individual that happens with Lou Pearlman, and sometimes the nature of the 19 and the show. But I'll say this, the more overt example of that was the Simon Cowell X Factor. Like, they really took like no talent hacks and tried to shape them into artists.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And it failed.
Yeah,
that
doesn't work.
So Idol clearly doesn't do that to that degree. But there is a little something there.
Of course. It's a television show. Duh.
Yeah.
The biggest piece of the suit, though, if he is able to breach the contract, which would be obviously huge news in terms of reality TV shows and all of that, most of the time, the reality TV show contestants renegotiate their contract at some point. And Philip says he requested this frequently. And the petition specifically says that because 19 Recordings, Inc. is his record company and 19 is the management company, they failed to secure even a single improvement to the terms of the recording agreement in breach of the respondent's fiduciary obligations to the petitioner.
You know,
this is the crux of the biggest piece of it. The one piece is the agent part, which is they shouldn't be booking him. They're not his agent. And then the second part of it is this, you know, poor representation,
sure,
at the table with the management. Yeah.
Peter Jackson from Lord of the Rings had the exact same complaint because the production and then the manufacturing of all of that fell under the same studio. And when it came time to negotiate DVD rights,
right,
he claimed that they just went in house and gave a favorable DVD
to. Oh, right, it was Sony, right?
Just, you know, even if it was like the standard deal, it's like, well, shit, you didn't go out and try to get the non-standard. You didn't try,
right?
You didn't represent.
You just said okay.
You failed in your fiduciary responsibility to get the most for this
product that I produced.
That's
especially because he front loaded everything.
That's like, a very valid complaint.
I mean, the man's been living there for, I don't even know how long, in New Zealand filming all these goddamn movies.
No, I'm thinking for Phil Phillips.
That's huge.
Has a lot of leverage.
Yeah, it's a lot of leverage. I think it has a lot in terms of being able to breach the contract for sure. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Up next in our news segments, my man.
Hey, I'm
beast mode.
So I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer. So y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. 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 I'm just here so I won't get fined.
My man, he is the GOAT of Media
Beast,
Day today.
Beast mode. I fucking love it.
Love him. To be there for 5 minutes. He was required. He had been told by...
No, contractually obligated.
Yes, he had been told by the league if he was not there or had not made himself available, he faced up to a $500,000 fine from the NFL. He had his phone on the desk and had set it to count down the 5 minutes.
And it is a contract. It's not just in every contract there's clauses and pieces that pertain to the NFL and the league. And one of them is when it comes to these sort of things, in particular the Super Bowl and the playoffs, there's, you know, media days and events that you must participate in. And if you don't, you get fined. And I just think it's not even hilarious. I think it's brilliant.
He's
absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he just set, he had his phone out, set it for the 5 minutes, and just said the same thing over and over again. He caught about a bag of Skittles, somebody threw at him, and picked up a female reporter's recorder after it fell on the floor. He said, "Hey, Miss Lady." That's all he said to her.
I'm here so I won't get fined. I just, good for him. You can't tell him what to fucking say, mm-hmm. right? You can just tell him he has to be there.
Yeah. I just think it's like, you can't control everything. That y'all can't tell me what to do.
Just a
quick note about Lynch, who is obviously notoriously media. Shy would be under.
I was going to say he's super
phobic
private.
Would be
super
more
private. Yeah.
So this is a quote from an article about him. It's not that Lynch has nothing to say. It's just that he too often doesn't see the point in doing that publicly. For Lynch, there's no mystery to his ultra private nature. Quote, being from Oakland, you see a lot of things. You see friends turn on friends all the time. You see family turn on family. So I feel like if I'm going to rock with you, I'm in 100%. And you're going to know that. I'm pretty good at reading people. If you're rocking with me because you're just a solid individual, then we're rocking. But if you got a motive or something, I'm probably going to see right through that.
Yeah.
That is why he doesn't talk to the press. So bully for him. I do want to,
he tweets and shit though. He doesn't.
Oh yeah.
He's not like
anti-social.
Yeah, he's not a recluse.
His team loves him. I mean, he's like so popular. He's all about the team. He's such a huge team player. They absolutely just go nuts for the guy. So, but you know, he has this whole Skittles thing. Right.
Yeah, of course.
So
They rain Skittles down
because his mom used to always give him Skittles when he was a kid.
Well. I guess.
So he did do one press conference this week. So let's just play that real quick. What's on Marshawn's mind? Skittles finds out for us. He's a big bowl of Skittles.
Is this on?
He's eating Skittles.
Yeah. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have Skittles asking me questions today.
Hey, Marshawn, would you ever want to hang out with a talking rainbow?
I wouldn't want to hang out with nobody who talks at all.
If you could live on any planet after you retire from football, which planet would it be?
I stay right here on Earth. I kind of like it here.
Earthling for life, it says.
On game day, if you could transport yourself to the field in any way, what would it be, jetpack or blimp?
Me, myself, personally, I take the blimp.
Marshawn, do you prefer watching cat videos or dog videos online?
Do I prefer watching cat videos or dog videos online? I watch the cat.
Really thought about it. He pondered it.
He's literally just eating nothing but Skittles and drinking like.
Do I ever wish the field were twice as long so I could get a 200-yard rushing touchdown? Not at all.
Not at all.
I'll stick with 100 yards.
Marshawn, do you think it would be easier or harder to play football on the moon?
I think it would be easier.
Do you think that everyone should get Skittles when they do something awesome at their jobs?
Like if some reporters right here and they ask me a good question, I would probably do something like that.
He threw Skittles in the air.
So that's a yes.
Which is louder, 25 T-Rexes or a stadium full of Seahawks fans?
That's simple. The 12s. Do I think referees keep Skittles under that hood to eat while they're reviewing plays? I know they got Skittles in there.
I know they got Skittles in there.
What do you feel like to be in beast mode?
You don't feel in beast mode. It feels you.
Anyway, I just have to play that. He's so funny. Anyhow,
it keep goes on.
It's
on.
Just like another. He just says thanks to Skittles for being there. And
was it a commercial they aired or just for?
They did it during this week. They just did like a Skittles press conference, and he answered all those. It came out yesterday, I think, or day before. It's funny.
He got paid.
He's getting paid. Yes,
he got paid.
Good for him.
Good for him. Good for Skittles.
Anyway, yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it.
So Gnomeageddon happened.
You know what? I don't know if it's like news version of clickbait with the weather. Like they've got so many problems with the weather.
Oh my gosh.
I just want to say it starts like there's almost so much to chart it out. So much as here's the like ridiculosity that they're going to do. It starts with a like hyping it up. It's going to be huge. Look out. It's going to be, oh my God. Then they fucking name that shit. Hashtag it. Right. Like the news version. Like,
well, actually, I think it just started being that Weather Channel started naming winter storms.
Oh, did this one have a name?
Juno was its name.
Juno. See, I didn't hear that, but I heard Blizzard 2015.
Yeah, of course.
Snowmageddon 2015. Yeah. All kinds of 2015 bullshit.
Right.
And it was maybe like Sunday.
Sunday night, or was it Monday?
Sunday or Monday we made the bet.
Sunday, because that was when they were like, okay, this is the forecast. Right. It's coming.
Right.
You know, people started like closing stuff early Monday and everything. Yeah.
So Sunday they're talking like 6 to 12 inches in the Philadelphia region. Right. 6 to 12
and
inches.
And we're at the grocery store and I go, bullshit.
Bullshit. And I remember being like, what do you mean bullshit? It's not going to be 6 to 12. I go, what do you think it's going to be?
I said, it's either going
to
be.
No, you said, it ain't going to be 6 to 12.
Yes, I said,
so you're just taking anything before or after that range. You just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then I further clarified. I go, I'm telling you, it's either going to be nothing, like 3 inches, or it's going to be like 3 feet. There's no way that they are going to get the actual forecast correct. Period.
Okay.
That's what I said. And you said, I'll take the 6 to 12.
I'll take 6 to 12.
Yes,
I'll take
6 to 12. That was the discussion.
And so I took the 6 to 12 inches, but even the forecast like changed. They were like as much as 30 inches, 20 inches. So it's all over the place, but I'm locked in 6 to 12, and you've got anything less or anything more than 12 inches.
Pretty much.
And it didn't snow for shit. They canceled. They let schools were closed. They let them out early Monday. The transit was down. Is there 6 inches of snow?
No, there was not 6 inches of snow. What's the official?
I think they said three.
Three, maybe four here in Cherry Hill. I don't even think it was that much.
We got lucky.
So I thought it was funny because, you know, I hate weather forecasters and meteorologists. I just don't know any other job where you can be like, yeah, I am never wrong. I can be like 30 to 40% accurate, and that's cool with everybody. I don't know any other job that you can do that with, but apparently meteorologists, they got lucked out. So Gary Statowski, who is a meteorologist from the National Weather Service, tweeted starting at 12:44 a.m. on the 27th. My deepest apologies to many key decision makers and so many members of the general public. I want to preface this because when the decision in Philadelphia was made to close the city, to close schools for Tuesday, right? Yeah, for Tuesday.
Yep.
And to, all the courts were closed, city council, everything closed. They had a final report that came from the National Weather Service at 10 p.m. on Wednesday. And after that report came out was when they decided to do all these things. So they waited to the very last possible moment they could to do these things. Okay, great. So Gary says from the National Weather Service, my deepest apologies to many key decision makers and so many members of the general public. You made a lot of tough decisions expecting us to get it right, and we didn't. Once again, I'm sorry. This is a big storm further off to our northeast. New York City will see good amounts of snow, and for portions of New England, it will be a very high impact. But for much of New Jersey and the Philadelphia metropolitan area, this is a big forecast miss. No shit, Sherlock.
Big forecast miss.
No kidding.
So you know my other favorite thing about the snow in particular is?
What's that?
Your mom. She's so obsessed with the weather.
Well, first of all, she's obsessed with the weather, whether it's a blizzard or not. Any change in weather requires immediate check-in and download of information to her.
The best part is that she'll call.
Always.
Like she'll call. Is it raining there?
Yeah.
Is it raining there? What's the weather like?
Yep. Always.
So did you hear this? She left a voicemail. Let's see if I can try and play
this.
Yeah.
Is it snowing there?
Well, let me turn it
I
up.
Couldn't hear it
I
very
play
well.
It again. I'll play it again.
Hold on, then.
Let me do it. Is it snowing there? Call me Beth. Let me know. Okay.
That's it. That's the whole message.
That's all she wanted to know.
Hey, Drew, it's mom. Is it snowing there? Call me back.
Okay. She needed to know.
That's the entirety of her message.
Well, shout out to you, mom. Thanks for caring about us. We appreciate that.
I love her dearly.
She's so funny. She does always want to know this. This has been her forever, though. Always.
Concerned about the weather.
Yeah, if I was home after I got home or something, I'd be in Brooklyn. She's at work in Manhattan. She would call me to find out if it was raining in Brooklyn. Like, it's just Brooklyn. I'm not that far from you.
So I was watching the news. We're checking out the weather, and I was complaining with one of my workmates that the new thing they started doing here in Philly, they just maybe like Hurricane Sandy, perhaps, as back a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But so they've clearly they can't do forecasting. They fucked that up, right? Forecast. So they now do something now casting.
Oh, yeah, now casting.
And now casting.
Where they just drive around in a truck.
Unfamiliar is they just throw a reporter out on the street and he looks up and he tells you what's it's raining right now.
Driving through King of Prussia now and. It's right now. It's raining.
Now casting.
Yeah, now casting.
Because I didn't think I needed the news to tell me what was going on right now.
Well, see, that's for my mom.
Now casting.
They're now casting for people like her who want to know. Because if she tuned in and they were like, "I'm driving through Teaneck and it's raining in Teaneck right now," she'd be like, "Oh, good. Now I don't have to call Andrea because I know it's raining in Teaneck." So that's who they're doing.
The now cast is for
now mom. Cast is for my mom.
I can't imagine there's a whole lot of moms watching.
I
the news.
Don't know. What the now cast audience? I feel like I've heard a lot of other people say that their parents frequently are concerned about what the weather is where they are.
Listener, all four of you, tweet the interracial John. Is now casting ludicrous? Chris, or is it make sense on some level?
Is it good for moms?
Yeah.
And dads.
Just not tell us if you like now casting.
Nobody likes it except for those people.
Well, there's got to be an audience for it.
Maybe. Really. I mean, they put up, we don't have a choice of what they show us, so there's that.
Yeah, tweet, I love now casting. Mom loves now casting.
Mom loves now casting.
Mom loves now casting.
That's good. Okay.
So, Nomageddon.
No.
There was no
snow from Nomageddon. Juno.
Juno had none, mm-hmm. none at all.
Nope. Uh-oh.
I know what time it is.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Say what? Uh-huh.
That time, lame duck blackness.
What did he do now?
The president?
Obese.
Well, I think we have some, do we have audio for it or no?
No. Oh,
okay.
I don't think so.
So he, they have the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner and various things they do at the White House.
Yeah, also.
So there's like protocol on various things. So the State of the Union lunch.
Right.
It's before his epic State of the Union. They invited a bunch of folks, including news media outlets and so forth and so on. And all the news media, Brian Williams, NBC News, was his placard. David Muir, ABC News, was his placard. All, very similar. Shepard Smith, Fox. Brett Baer, Fox.
Oh, I do have some audio because, Shep has something to say about this.
So conspicuously missing was the word news.
Shade.
And Shepard Smith took umbrage with it, did he?
Yeah, here he goes.
So White House, if you're watching, thank you for the lunch again. That was really delicious. My only regret is that I didn't have the wine. I sat next to Brian Williams, and we all have these place cards, and his said Brian Williams, NBC News. And across from me was David Muir, the new guy on ABC. It said David Muir, ABC News. And then over next to the president was Scott Pelley, and it said Scott Pelley, ABC News. And I looked at mine, and it doesn't say anything about news. It just says Fox.
Shade.
And I looked at Brett Baer's, and it said Brett Baer, Fox. But all the rest of them got news.
Shade.
I mean, I don't care. Lunch was great. But I guess there's a message received.
Yep.
But
shade. The shade is
Brett
real.
I'm going to go with the news part.
The shade is real, Shepard. The shade is real.
Poor Shepard Smith.
Poor Bray.
Oh, poor Shepard Smith.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. Mm-hmm. But so his hand has been strong.
Very strong.
Lame duck blackness.
The shade is real.
It's not even like the 20 what? It hasn't even a month.
It hasn't.
He's got 24
He's
more
like,
of these months?
I gotta get it in.
I'm liking the end of this term.
We're going to be playing that song a lot this year.
I'm liking
it. I think.
Well, speaking of maybe our less favorite song to play. It's that time. Yes, All Cops. So I'm unaware, but what did Yes, All Cops do this time, Leslie?
Well, I'm actually trying to pull this story up right now. Lakewood officer was punished for playing Dude Looks Like a Lady during questioning of a transgender woman in Lakewood, Ohio.
Like play the music or sang it himself?
The song, yeah. A Lakewood officer was disciplined for playing the Aerosmith song Dude Looks Like a Lady while a transgender woman was questioned by a fellow officer. Police confirmed Friday. Detective Thomas McLaughlin became the subject of an internal affairs investigation, was given a verbal warning, and ordered to attend sensitivity training. This happened on December 22nd. The song's lyrics refer to a man with a feminine appearance dressed in woman's clothing, who the narrator mistakes for a woman, obviously. The woman was arrested on suspicion of shoplifting and was questioned at the police station. I just don't even know what to say.
Honestly, it's just... It's insanity.
Yeah.
And then they said
he was retrained on how to behave in certain situations and to be aware of who might be in the room. It's like, so you're saying if the person had heard them, it would have been fine with you. That's pretty much the
mock this individual. Just do it behind.
Just do it so that nobody knows.
So nobody hears it.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck. And I hate to be like a total like jerk about it, but on some level, what this individual did, right, playing Dude Looks Like a Lady, mocking, you know, somebody who's probably marginalized and mocked in so many ways on so many days and now is being arrested, you know, like low light of their whatever, and now has to have this go on top of it, right? Like rubbing salt into an open wound kind of thing. And it's just, I don't want to say like the type of individual that's okay with that, but it's like, that just, there's no amount of sensitivity training that's going to make that individual a really great cop in my mind. I just don't see it. That's not something you can like go to rehab and not be a fucking prick.
No.
You know what I mean? Like there isn't like, don't be a fucking, it's like a fucking high school locker room frat boy fucking mentality. And just, I don't know. I'm not trying to like put all those individuals down, but you know, you either grow out of that or like you're a terrible person.
No, and it's terrible because Robin, who's a transgender woman, who she's been living at a women's shelter in Cleveland, says that the officers in her initial arrest and processing were actually very polite. They issued her a cell in the female block and acted very respectfully towards her. But the next day when the detective, so let me just get this straight, that the quote unquote lower level officers that she came in contact with were completely respectful and polite to her. The next day, she goes to these detectives who are supposed to be a higher level in terms of the hierarchy of the police system. She's being questioned, and she hears the all-familiar tones of Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady filtering from this douchebag's computer at the police station. She knew what was going on, and so she says to the detective who is questioning her, "You know why he's doing that, right?" And the detective was like, "Hey, what can you do?" After that song ended, McLachlan then queued up Lola by the Kinks, known for its lyrics about a man meeting a transgender woman. The detective interviewing Robin got up and asked for McLachlan to knock it off. And Robin says she heard McLachlan say, "Hey, it's a good song." End quote.
That's what I mean. That guy's not going to, his own fucking colleague, another police officer was like, "Dude, this is really, you know, whatever he said, knock it off, insensitive. It's a good song."
Yeah, it's a good song.
The fuck, man.
So there's that.
There was like those cops that were playing Sweet Home Alabama out the car.
It's just like that.
Following the fucking protesters.
Exactly like
that. It's just so insensitive. It's so rude.
It's terrible.
It's crazy. So we're still talking about Yes All Cops. Did you hear about Charles Humblot's son?
I did hear about that.
Yeah, so he was on campus at Yale. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was a individual and like everything else fit this description, but he'd been walking on campus, saw the police officer, didn't really pay him any mind. He's, you know, moving forward, and he hears someone shout, "Hey, turn around," and he points his gun at him right away on campus, Yale, points his gun at him, and says, "Get on the ground." At this point, gets on the ground, I stop looking at him, I'm on the pavement, I'm on my knees, my hands raised, I'm laying on my stomach, and then they ask me what my name was, I give my name, and then he asked me what school I went to, and I'm like, I go to Yale. At this point, he says to get up, he's got my name, and he's going on talking about the story, but I'm getting up slowly, I'm walking back to the room, I was scared, my legs were shaking. After a few more paces, the officer said, "Hey, my man, can you step off to the side?" So I did. The officer asked him to turn around so he could see the back of his jacket, asked his name again, finally asked to see his ID, and he produced his school ID from his wallet. And the officer said, called it in, he said something to the effect of, "Keep him there till we get this sorted out." So, you know, like I'm sure happens to every black individual at some point, they fit the description. But on campus, had a gun pointed at him? Oh, man. So Charles went kind of deep on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. I'm a little bit of Twitter vacation, but a bunch of people said that he just went off and was tweeting a bunch of missives and then wrote an opinion piece for his New York Times.
Yeah, he did write a piece about it. He tweeted about it just, you know, basically the tweets. It was like, I think it was only like 3 or 4 tweets, but they basically were like, you know, just got the call you don't want to receive. My son, who's a, you know, third year biology major at Yale, was just accosted at gunpoint by a police officer. And
Right.
When will this stop? None of us are safe. Blah, blah, blah. Do, 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 do. That sort of thing.
You know, though, and you just, I think this incident is a perfect example of why parents of black children, quote unquote, have the talk. You know, everyone's all shitty with de Blasio talking about the talk, but look at this. This is on campus, leaving the library, and he's got a gun pointed at his face. There's a lot of ways to react to that if it's, you know, not a common, and let's hope it's not a common occurrence. And a lot of ways to react to a gun being pointed in your face is to throw your hands, to freak out, to move in a rapid way, to do something. Hey, why are you pointing a fucking gun at my face? You know, there's a lot of ways to react to having a gun pointed in your face. And I hate to say it, a lot of them get you shot. And so when people talk about, oh, the talk, this or that, this is why. This is why. Because this shit happens all the fucking time.
Yeah. And the thing that gets me, though, is a few things. One, Charles's big, big thing takeaway in his piece that he wrote, and this was kind of the, you know, what he alluded to in his tweets, is that he says, I'm reminded of what I have always known, but what some would choose to deny, that there's no way to work your way out, earn your way out of this sort of crisis. In these moments, what you've done matters less than how you look. There's no amount of respectability that can bend a gun's barrel. All of our boys are bound together. The dean of Yale College and the campus police chief have apologized and promised an internal investigation, and I appreciate that, but the scars cannot be unmade. My son will always carry the memory of the day he left his college library and an officer trained a gun on him. Now, the thing that gets me, though, is that the person that they were seeking, I guess there's been a flurry of crime on Yale. People have been stealing, like, you know, iPods and computers out of rooms. And this happened on Saturday, and then I guess they caught somebody today or yesterday doing it. But my thing is this. The person who was doing these crimes, it wasn't a robbery like armed robbery. They just, like, snuck into people's rooms that were unlocked and stole things out of them.
Right.
Okay. Why would you have your gun out at all?
For real.
This is an individual, whoever they are, who did not use any force in committing this crime, didn't injure anybody, and clearly didn't have any weapons.
Has shown no indication towards violence.
So you're willing to, at some point, put someone's life in danger for property.
iPods. Fucking computers.
It's disturbing. That's the whole thing to me. It's like... It's horrible that this happened to Charles Blow's son, and that's all, you know, good and well, whatever. But my whole thing is, if you even go back to the root, why he was even stopped was because he fit the description of this person who had been stealing.
I mean, there's all
these
kinds
things.
Of problems with policing, starting with the training, starting
but
with the profiling.
Honest to goodness, like, why would you ever even have your gun out at all?
Well, that was the...
Why would this situation warrant any weapon of any sort?
And I don't know if you remember, but... Around when Ferguson, Missouri had the most unrest and there were tear gassing residents and they were marching out with, you know, LRADs and tanks and shit.
Right.
You know, there was a few things. There were a few things that every single person agreed with. Conservative, liberal, left, right, hardcore military, you name it. You don't fucking point your weapons in a crowd control situation at the fucking crowd, man.
Nope.
That's like the number one way to escalate. Point a fucking barrel of an M16 at somebody and start screaming at them. And they did that all night long for days and days and days and days. And that's what this guy did on campus. And you, we talked about it with Pennyman and Molly.
Oh, yeah.
And I forget the piece we were talking about, but our most recent podcast, your comment about, same with Charles' comment, that respectability politics is a dangerous game.
It's
because
very dangerous.
Just, there is no level of respectability. You know, and I start with fucking Skip, what was his name? Got accosted in his own goddamn home on Harvard's
Gates.
Campus.
Skip
Gates. Those Gates gets accosted for breaking in, quote unquote, to his own goddamn home, right? PhD,
no, I mean,
TV star.
I would say that they weren't really going to shoot Skip
Gates.
No, but here's the thing, though.
It doesn't matter. Well, my point is, it doesn't matter how respectable you want to be and look and act. It's all fucking pointless because at the end of the day, you're black.
Right. And my whole thing is, though, Charles, the thing that's dangerous about this is Charles' son did not react as though he could have had a gun pointed at him. He says, when he was describing the incident to his father, that I assumed he wasn't talking to me.
Yeah.
When he said, turn around, I thought he must be talking to somebody. He's not talking to me. I'm just going to my room. This is where it's dangerous. Because let's just say he very rightfully so was like, oh, he can't be talking to me. If he was white and was thinking that, he would be correct. and would be able to just continue walking and not give it a second thought. But when you're black and you have that thought, you need to stop yourself, because that's how innocent people get killed.
Yeah.
Just like that. That quickly could happen over some iPads on Yale's campus.
I mean, it does happen. Who was the individual in, was it Utah, that had his headphones on?
Yep.
And didn't hear the command?
Yep.
And that was deemed, you know,
aggressive, I guess?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Not listening to me, so yeah. I'm going to shoot you in the back.
Anyways.
Craziness.
Yeah, it's nuts. Anyhow, Miss Universe was this weekend as well.
Wee.
And for those who don't know, Miss Universe is like big deal in almost every Jamaican household that I'm aware of. We always watch it because we're a small island and we don't get that much shine, places to shine. But Miss Universe is one of the places that our Miss Jamaica world generally do quite well. We haven't won before, but we've been runner-ups, I think, twice. And we usually place certainly in the top 10.
And who's the Bob Marley's
lover. Sydney Breakspear.
Breakspear. She came as a runner-up.
Lisa and Hannah was a runner-up as well. There's been a few. Yandy Phillips did very well. We've had quite a Jamaican few people that have done very well.
You're a beautiful country.
That's the truth, Ruth.
Beautiful people.
So this year was no exception, and we have a lovely representative.
Casey.
Yes. Miss Casey Fennell, who just... fucking slayed.
Y'all, just Google Casey Fennell, and I'm telling you, she's slayed. Like the reincarnation of Halle Berry in that bathing suit from that Bond movie. Oh my God, she's gorgeous.
She slayed.
That red,
red
the dress.
Evening dress? Get out of here.
Stop.
Nah.
Just
so
stop.
Anyway, so we were, you know, this is what we used to do in my house, is we'd all, who you think's going to be the top 15?
Yeah,
so we, you know, we're doing the same things, watching or whatever. And I was like, oh, well, you know, just because she made top 5 and she was just so great, I thought, she'll at least get runner up. Like, you know, I thought she should have won just because I thought, just, you know, I'm biased, but I thought she should have won. I thought for sure she'll get runner up if she doesn't win.
I had in my mind, it was Miss Jamaica is number 1, Miss USA is the runner up, and then like third would have been
had Colombia as number 3. That's who I thought was the top 3. And actually, I would have been fine with any combination there. And I thought based on all the, you know, little bit of information we had, their interviews, their, you know, the swimsuit, the evening gown, whatever. I thought they were the best. Okay. They gave Miss Jamaica 5th. And when they announced...
Boo birds.
I have never heard anything like this at a pageant in my
jeers.
Life. The entire audience just went nuts. Started booing. I mean, loudly.
And I said it to you then. If they had given her 3rd.
Yes.
Right? If Casey had been given 3rd place...
Yeah, I don't think they would have heard
that. I don't think they would have been 5th.
It's an insult. It's an insult. And then when they announced the winner, the top 2 ended up being who we thought, which was Miss Columbia 1, and she's a gorgeous woman, and fine. And Miss USA came in 2nd. Right when that happens and they crown her and she has her walk and stuff, and then they're going to finish everything out, half of the contestants went over to Miss Columbia and were congratulating her, or I should say the new Miss Universe. The other half went over to Casey and lifted her in the air on the stage.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
And then Twitter went freaking crazy.
Yeah, it did.
Miss Columbia wasn't trending, but hashtag Miss Jamaica should have won was trending. It was the top trender for the night. And people were just going in saying that she was robbed, she should have won. Famous people, regular people, all sorts of people just not happy. And so we want to give a big shout out to Casey, who got home to Jamaica yesterday.
I'm sure it would have been
awesome.
It would have been much more pleasurable for her to have won.
Sure.
But if you're not going to win.
Yeah.
The fashion with which she didn't win.
She's going to get a lot of
she'll get some mileage. It was like Adele, Dazeem Adele.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, it's true.
Like, damn, dude, you wouldn't have got half as far if fucking Travolta to actually pronounce your name correctly.
So true.
But there's a couple other things we didn't, I don't know if you noticed, but I made a note to talk about.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
On the voiceover, they kept calling them just Jamaica.
Right.
You know, like the country name, not Miss, not their first name at all. Oh, here comes USA.
Right.
You know, here comes Jamaica.
They didn't even bother to, like, learn the names. Especially because I feel like the top 15 is decided pretty... I feel like they know that before they go in.
Well, and I don't know who the woman doing, but, like, there are a couple of choice lines. And here's Spain takes her charity work seriously, y'all. Spain takes her charity work seriously, y'all.
Apparently she does.
And then remember the costumes, the world costumes at the beginning, where they dress up, like, from something from their home?
Yes,
weekend?
I do.
The fuck with Canada looking
Canada,
like a hockey billboard
a
with hockey sticks
mess.
And like a big lit up like billboard?
Yeah, it wasn't.
That was
cute.
Weird.
It was very strange.
Very bizarre. And the woman from, who makes Curacao? Is Curacao the country, I guess?
Yeah, Curacao
the country. That's also the drink. They pimped her ass out. She was like a Curacao bottle.
A giant Curacao bottle.
like the UPC barcode and everything.
Right.
I was like, dang. Yeah. I know you guys don't export a lot, but jeez, let Miss Universe, I don't know, have something.
Right. Then they had a cadre of suspect judges involved. Rob Dyrdek.
Oh, yeah. They're like 10
who
judges.
Who asked the worst question I think I've ever heard Manny in my entire
Pacquiao?
Life. Manny Pacquiao. Nobody can even understand what he was saying. Kristen Cavallari. Really?
Deshaun Jackson.
Deshaun. Deshaun.
It was weird.
Lord.
It was weird.
Other favorites of mine, Miss Argentina was very lovely.
Oh, yeah. She was gorgeous.
Miss Spain, I thought was very lovely.
I don't know
well.
What it is about Argentinian women and having lived there, but I think I said this the other night. I could put 10 gorgeous blonde women in a row that look, by all standards, identical and be like, that's the Argentinian one.
Yeah,
right there.
True.
She's from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And Valentina very much fit that bill.
And her name did too.
Yeah.
And special shout out to Ooh. Miss Great Britain, who I think was robbed of making the top 15.
Oh, and that her outfit, dude.
Was the bomb.
Banging.
Yeah.
And a couple of the ones I liked, Miss Guyana. I thought she was very gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Italy, although you thought she looked elder.
She looked older than the other girls.
Older,
don't put
older,
words in my mouth.
Older,
I just thought she looked older than the other girls.
Miss Venezuela, Miss Indonesia, mm-hmm. Miss Netherlands.
Miss Netherlands went pretty far. She was
The girl from Brazil was cute, but then she was real... arrogant, maybe is the right word I'm looking for. I don't know.
Confident?
Is
that what you mean to say?
Yeah, confident's a better way to
say
that.
Yeah, that is.
Well, and then Miss Venezuela, they have the little sound bites, and I don't know what she was answering or saying, but at some point she said she's an ambassador for child prostitution.
Right, because it's not her first language. And
I
that
understand.
Was one thing I would have to caution is, like, if you speak a language natively other than English and you're not 100% comfortable, just use the translator. Like, they have them there because some of the girls use them, but you could tell some of the other ones like wanted to like show off their English, which I appreciate. But if an interview is important, you might want to make sure that Miss Columbia's English was impeccable. So
and did I hear that people were giving some flack to Miss Jamaica's response to the question, what her country has given?
I think like one person, they say this, most of the people thought it was great. I mean, I thought she could have been a little more eloquent, but I thought her answer was fine.
Bob Marley and reggae music's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's a country of 3 million people. What,
yeah.
You know.
It was good.
But I haven't seen a Miss Universe pageant before, but it was kind of fun.
It
I
was
liked
fun.
It.
Shout out to you, Casey. Big up. We
Big
love
up,
you.
Casey.
We love,
love
you, Casey. You.
Jamaica.
Yeah. So what else?
We haven't done this little bit in a bit.
Thank you for being a friend
of the John.
Friends of the John. Actually, I'll start with we had our MLK march, and we're out and about, and friend of the John, Adam Sadama.
What's up, Adam?
I didn't know he was from Philly.
I didn't know he was from Philly either.
But he comes up to me. He's like, do I know you from Twitter? And I was like, I think so. So we finally like, oh, you're at it. Oh, my God. I was like, that's a pretty good do I know you from Twitter pickup line.
We took a selfie and everything.
We did take a selfie and everything.
So, hey, Adam. Good to see you. IRL.
It was in real life.
Uh-huh.
In life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read some more Friends of the John. Kareem Dant.
Hey, Kareem.
Anchal Adhikari.
Anchal.
Jubba Juice.
Hey, Jubba.
Jules? Ashley B. Sunshine.
Hey, Ashley.
We've got Stacy Jordan.
Hi, Stacy.
We'll throw your husband, Sean in as well. Cleo's Baby.
Hi.
Absurdist Words.
Oh, I like that name.
Yeah, and I forget his wife's name, but she's on here as well. Sophia Lamar.
All right, Sophia.
I am Lisa B.
Lisa B in the house.
Molly of the Pennyman Doctrine.
Hi, Molly Mac.
Of the TBD. Yeah, about that. James Dean. James Dean, yeah, about that. AUA and the AUA movement, Ricky and Sherelle.
Hey, guys.
Jay Flexi and Furious 2.
Ooh.
Nell Whisper. Hey, Ivy, how you doing? MG Greb, Nayanomi, Amanda Tintero, Boston to La La Land, Joyce Bruce Cruz, the MacArthur, Ilijoma Aluo. I'll end it there because I'm going to butcher her name, Ilijoma Aluo, who
She said she loved the podcast. That was nice.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Yeah, well, we appreciate that. And you. You're awesome.
We do appreciate you.
She's blowing up right now.
For real. But, you know, we could use a review. Doesn't have to be 5 stars. If it is, we'll read it on the air. But give us a review.
iTunes.com.
Yeah, we'd love
to. Or Stitcher.
We'd love to hear what you think.
5-star reviews. We read them on the air. That's a shout out to one Rodimus Prime from the Black Guy Who Tips. And Karen as well. Say that again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, leave us a review or two.
You know, as much as I love doing the podcast, because I do, I really do love it. But there is, with most other content production vehicles, there's a little bit more feedback. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People consume podcasts very kind of on their own, listening, and then, you know, that.
Also, because we don't do it live yet. That gives you some instant feedback, too.
I just don't know if the world is ready for This Very White Guy Live. I don't think I'm ready for This Very White Guy Live. I'm going to, like, pick my nose or something. I don't know.
Well, we'll think about it. Anyways, leave us a review. We'd love to hear it. So, yeah, one thing that we have not spoken about, and you have not watched or seen or anything.
I know, I've been dying.
Is the epic debate between Nancy Grace and 2 Chainz on one topic.
Debate?
Yes, it was a debate. She invited him on to debate medical marijuana. That's what they were called to do because she's been going on about this hashtag pot to blame. She's been blaming pot for all of these different horrible things that have happening, and specifically people giving pot to their kids. Think of the children.
No, wait a minute.
Think of the children.
Someone made it, or Nancy Grace is...
The hashtag, that's Nancy Grace. She's always like pot to blame with the number 2. So.
Really?
Yeah.
And so she's obviously not a proponent of medical marijuana. And she's one of these people that think that despite mountains of evidence, when you smoke weed, you do like crazy things rather than become sedentary and relaxed. And like, you know, it's like, marijuana is like a motivational. It's like anxiety. Like,
well, let's you don't need to debate her. Let 2 Chainz do it. And we'll just stop it. You can tell me to stop at any moment to discuss any points of it.
All right.
It's a little long, but you know, maybe everybody in our audience has not heard it.
Superstar in his own right, known as 2 Chainz, also to
hit 2 Chainz.
Titty boy with us from my school starting grounds, College Park, Georgia. Now one of the most famous rap stars in the world. You know, 2 Chainz. First of all, thank you for being with us. You're a star. So many people, so many teens, so many young adults look up to you. Can I ask you, when you hear about cases like this, why do you still support the legalization of marijuana? Because, you know, I know your persona is different from your rap persona. I know, for instance, you graduated with a 4.0 that you got.
They're showing one of his videos right now.
4.0.
Jam Records. Why do all the guys have on regular clothes and the women have on skin tight leopard suits? You know, I don't know the answer to that. But why do you
already laughing
legalization of pot when you hear stories like what I'm talking about?
Well, from the stories that I just heard you talk about, they were they had alcohol included, which we all know, you know, cause you to black out, forget things, and have memory loss. They also dealt with irresponsible people. I don't think that you could put an umbrella on the whole community off these few incidents that you just named.
Well, what community is that? The potheads?
The smokers, the stoners community. I just feel like you can't use these particular stories to define everybody
daddy,
that has recreational
I'm not
use.
Like she just talks all over
everybody.
Him.
Everybody. Okay, so don't throw me in that pot and stew me. What I'm saying is legalizing pot ends up in stories like this. And you, with so many people looking up to you, advocate legalization of pot. And
you should see this sweater he has on. It's like a Bill Cosby, like Cosby Show sweater.
It's
like a big collar. A big fat doobie.
I know what you say in your songs, but when you hear stories like the mom and the dad on the front porch, the baby dies in a fire, then my next story, everybody, that's 2 Chainz Twitter account. That's him smoking pot. And while I have you, why the 2 Chainz? Just curious.
2 Chainz was obviously my second time, you know, coming around as far as a rapper. My first name was Titty Boy, but the name came from an internal thing with my mom, me being an only child, me being a spoiled brat, me being breastfed, so the whole family called me Titty Boy. But then when it was time for me to really go out here and make a name for myself, I figured like 2 Chainz could significant could obviously mean this would be my second chance, and then 1 Chainz being who I am, and another chain basically being what I thrive to be. So it has a little deeper meaning.
You know, in one of your lyrics, you say, "I don't fear death or dying. I only fear not trying." And some of your lyrics are so incredible.
The lyrics she puts up is that pussy pop like pyro. And she know my pothead, that pussy like a pothole.
A different kind of lifestyle.
Just saying.
A different kind of lifestyle.
That's the I do it lyric she puts on the page.
You children exposed to. I mean, do you have children?
She,
I have 2.
She's just so.
She's so all over the place.
No, she's all over the place. She's trying to like, you know, and it's funny. You said this like, I forget what other interview it was. I think it was that woman from Milwaukee that was just terrible at
it. Yeah, yeah.
But ever since you highlighted the fact that it's a tactic of oration delivery to put emphasis on the syllable that you're trying to get out. I hear it all the time. I can't. I said, "You are famous, a star." Like she's kind of like hitting all these
things. That's her MO.
I don't know. She's not coached.
That's just her.
Well,
cadence,
okay. But so she.
Speaking.
It sounds like she's trying to paint this whole like, "How dare you? People look up to you."
Right.
Which is like, I just don't even. Why bother? Like you know. That's
keep in mind. Literally, it says "Titty Boy."
2 Chainz. Like this.
In parentheses, 2 Chainz on his Twitter.
I'm just like, you could like, I'm sorry, like if you're talking about like, I don't know, Eric Holder, fucking all these kind of like, you know, people that we should be looking up to, right? If like Obese was like on the side, like President Obama was like literally like rapping about like, you know, bitches and hoes and shit, like I'd have an issue with that. Like, man, people really like it too. This is 2 Chainz the rapper.
I don't even think that either, because my whole thing.
I'm just saying you could.
Like I said, let's let 2 Chainz argue his point.
He's 2 Chainz. What is she trying to set him up for? It's 2 Chainz.
The problem is she's trying to set him up at all. She invited him to a debate, and then she thought she was going to be able to school him. And 2 Chainz had other ideas. So again, let's let him.
It's silly.
Let's let him decide what he wants to say.
She sounds desperate already.
She is desperate.
Beautiful little girls, and I'm a great father. I just feel like, you know, everybody should basically take care of their own. You have kids too as well, right? So it's about governing your own household. It's about taking care of your own property. It's about having some kind of structure in anything.
I hear you. I hear you, 2 Chainz. I hear you. But what I'm saying to you is this. People listen to you. And while you may be able to get high, and your children are kept away from that, and they're not growing up like that, is my guess, is my hope. Other people don't have the advantages that you have. Okay, Liz, show me the video of Jessica Gamble out of Ohio.
So she's just pulling up
this
people
mom,
now who have given their kids pot on.
This mom,
look at this.
Making her 2-year-old
two-year-old son.
Smoke pot. Watch this.
Watch this.
Why is it his fault?
What does that have to do with him?
Look at this baby.
That's what I was telling you earlier about trying to classify her as something that we would all do once we would smoke a joint. I feel like she was irresponsible. I feel like she was a bonehead. That was an imbecile move. Anybody that loves their kid definitely knows not to put them in harm's way, and that's what she did. So I don't agree with that at all. I mean, she may have mental issues. It may be something deeper than a joint, I believe.
Well, you know what?
I'm with you on that, Chainz.
All right, 2 Chainz.
And that's well put. Because what she's doing is child abuse. And what I'm trying to say to you is that.
But pause it again for a second.
Is legal law.
She's doing, and I really, this is why I want to have this discussion sometime on the White Privilege Podcast. I get so fucking tired of people taking some sort of correlative event and drawing causative conclusions from it. And this, when I say correlative event, the only correlative event she has is a fucking video of this mom giving weed to her kid.
And let me just also preface.
That's not a causation of anything. Weed didn't cause any of that.
Beyond that, this woman who gave her child the marijuana, it wasn't legal marijuana. So her whole argument is that because of this woman doing this thing, pot shouldn't be legalized. It wasn't legal when she did it. So what does that have to do with anything?
It's the like the most unbelievable false equivalency I've ever seen.
So it doesn't have anything to do with one another.
I took a shit yesterday. This milk cost $4. Men did not land on the moon. I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
It's all a lie.
It's all a lie. All right, here we go.
Then everybody is going to have unlimited access to pot. And unlike other people that are responsible, irresponsible child abusers are going to have free access.
I'm not sure if you know, but everybody has the ability to get their hands on pot right now. If you legalize this particular drug, it could cut out certain
I'm not sure if you're aware.
And criminal justice system as
like
far
what?
As the overcrowding of prisons, as far as... putting this on our criminal record to prevent us from getting loans, prevent us from getting homes.
Well,
just the whole thing around recreational weed is not making any sense to me.
If you want to qualify for a home, then why don't you just not smoke pot?
We're in a deficit right now. We got to try to find ways on getting out. So I figure if we got half of the states legalizing pot, if the rest of the community legalizes pot, that frees up taxpayers' money. That allows us to do something with this extra funds as far as fixing everything from
I don't
a
know
pothole
what you're saying about freezing,
to a stadium.
Freeing up
so
taxpayers' money. What do you mean free up taxpayers' money?
Oh, Lord, she's
that?
A stupid.
I'm a taxpayer, okay? And
Word.
I have one example. For me, I'm a taxpayer.
There you go.
My bus get pulled over, and they say they smell weed like they do all the time, okay? They find a grind on my bus that has 0.01 of residue inside of it. Okay, they lock me up. They strip me. They try. And then they find out I'm a rapper, and they want to know how fine is Nicki Minaj. They want to take pictures, and they want to let me go. They obviously charge me with 0.01. I go to court. I go to trial, and then they say, you pack your own bags. Is this your grind? I tell them no. Well, who pack your bags? They find out my security does it. They drop my case, and then they pick it up on my security, who obviously beats the case. If that's not a waste of taxpayers' time and money, I don't know what it is.
All right. I'm not disagreeing with you. big to do about finding what one joint. But what I'm talking to you about.
It wasn't even
one
joint. He says
he found a grinder.
It wasn't even a joint. Complete waste of my money.
What I'm talking to you about is something different. Now, I know you don't want to see this because it's not fitting with your argument. All right? And what you're saying is not fitting with my argument. All right? Liz, show him.
Now she goes back to the video.
Krista Weber, a mom and her friends giving the 2-year-old daughter pot and letting the kid smoke pot. Okay, everybody is not responsible to change.
She has quotes around responsible, by the way.
Everybody should have free access to go get
which
pot.
Is not,
you get
I'm
going to
stop it right there just because that's not how legalized marijuana works.
And even like
that's like saying, well, we have legal alcohol, and so everybody can get alcohol anytime, any place they want. No, that's not how it works. You have to have an ID. You have to go to a place that sells it. You have to buy it.
Two Chainz already put it down. In case you didn't know, there's free access to marijuana
so
now.
Stupid.
You want to talk about that's the metric for success. You spend all these billions of dollars regulating weed. Is the weed less potent and less available? I don't think so.
No.
It's not working.
This has like a minute, so I'll finish it up.
Store. Like you order it up like a pizza. Look at this child.
I don't even give my daughter a drink, caffeine, at 2 years old. I feel like it may be too strong for them. So, I mean, that's just something that you have to govern in your own household.
Everyone knows that
this is obviously wrong.
Look at the monitor. Do you see that child?
Now, this kid may need marijuana when he's about 16 because he may, you know, have some other things going on. But obviously, you know, 2 years old.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, let's just talk about you for a minute.
You went to college.
On a sports scholarship, did you not?
Yes, and I'm very intelligent, and smoking pot for me.
Can I get back to you in high school when you were 16 and you were on a basketball scholarship, as I recall? Were you using pot then?
Was she there?
I was selling pot then.
And would you want your children to do that?
Nah, but it was a means.
And why is that?
It was a way of living. It was a way of living
for
me.
Why don't you want your children to do it, man?
Because I did it for them. I sacrificed that so they won't have to do that.
Silence. silence. She ain't got shit else to say. That's the end of it. Literally, he was like, yeah, because that's why I did it. First of all, she was shocked. When he said, I'm a taxpayer, she was like, wait, oh, shit, he is a taxpayer. Like, literally, she didn't even know what to say. So,
well, because her narrative is taxpayers don't include black people. Right. Black people are the takers.
Yeah.
She meant the white taxpayers.
And she did.
She meant my taxpayers.
Think of the children. Anyway, so at the end of the debate, 2 Chainz himself tweets, hey, Nancy Grace, thanks for having me on today. We should make this a monthly thing. What do you think? She tweets back, 2 Chainz, you're on. I'm going to talk you out of this pot thing. P.S. I don't think that's a real Rolex you have on. Hashtag pot to blame.
She, no, she didn't.
Oh, she did.
She trolled him?
Oh, she trolled him.
I think that's a fake Rolex pot to blame. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Trifling.
Nancy.
You
just got owned by 2 Chainz.
Pwned.
2 Chainz.
2 Chainz.
Look at the monitor. Look.
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 Look at it.
Pull up that footage.
Pull up that footage. Anyways, if you need footage to bolster your argument, you're not a very good debater. Just saying.
It's a false equivalency.
I don't think you know what a debate is, Nancy.
It's just absurd. Mm-hmm. And it just, she's the epitome of, I'm going to say it louder and I'm going to be right.
Yeah.
You know, and then she, and I really hate when on her side, everything she pulls up is facts, even though she's making these grand
sweeping leaps. They're going to order it up like pizza.
Right.
I don't remember seeing that in any of these bills that have been put forth.
She does that left and right. But as soon as somebody brings up an actual, like, concrete example, well, here, I'm a taxpayer with this. She's like, oh, well, that's you. That's just you. That's not everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
What?
2 Chainz can't be the rule, but everybody else, everybody shitty can be. 2 Chainz is the exception.
Yeah.
Although she put quotes around responsible, so I don't think she actually thinks he's being responsible, but whatever. Anyways, it was glorious, and I hope they do it again so he could school her some more.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So
I'd pay to see that. Nancy Grace get owned by various rap stars, like, yes. World Star Hip Hop fucking be breaking the internet World with Star. Fucking that shit, dude.
So we did watch some TV and stuff just because of Nomageddon, because we couldn't go anywhere. Nomageddon, thank you very much. No. And one, you wanted to talk about Love and Hip Hop? Why?
I'm glad that, like, the first white person, not white person, but, like, they've got a white person that's just like, Chrissy's just like,
oh, on Love and Hip Hop now this season. What? She can't be on there long because she's a mess.
She is just.
What is she doing there?
I'm glad that
she looks like a madam.
I'm glad that the biggest hottest ass mess on the show,
which is saying a lot,
is a white chick.
Which is saying a lot.
I'm happy with that. Yeah. And her and Ching, they're just like, and the whole, like, with her trying to get pregnant,
which is,
and
she's like 50. How's she going to get pregnant? I don't quite understand any of that.
Have you ever noticed? I'm not trying to, like, real shade at her, because maybe she got, like, stands that'll come.
She,
like,
don't have no stands.
Stab me or something.
She has no stands.
Every shot they do of her is like titties up, because she is just, she don't got it on going downstairs.
No.
She's kind of.
And her, she doesn't wear right things for her. My thing is, like, isn't even Matt? They have had, let's say, more full-figured women on that show before, and they look great because they know how to dress for their figure. She's not one of those women.
She's just kind of trashy.
She's just sloppy. Mm-mm. It's not cute.
That show's crazy. And then they keep, like, and maybe, like, they do it on purpose.
Of course they do. Everything on that show is on purpose. It's not actually reality.
It's, like, straight up, like, I'm going to tell a lie to your face.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go to the edit of the confessional. I mean, like, here's why this is a lie, and I'm going to say this lie. Like, she's not going to watch this show knowing that I'm a lie. Here goes the lie. They go tell the lie. Like, damn, ain't they going to watch this show too?
They do that so that they can have fights at the reunion.
That's what they do.
That's the point.
Reunion.
You lied to me. Liar. Anyways.
He went to, was it the Bahamas?
Yes.
Saying he was
or Barbados, wherever he went. Who knows?
Oh, just.
Peter Gunn's.
Yeah. Telling your 9-month
the
pregnant
biggest
girl,
fuck boy I chose you.
No, you didn't. You asked her, and she said no. Nah.
My thing is, like, let her give birth first. Why you had to tell her while she's in labor? Just stop. He's
because it's better TV, I guess.
Is it? Okay, I'll have to take your word on that. Maybe next show we'll play the trashy ass music video that they put together after they had this baby. If you listen to his rap, he literally breaks down, like, oh, the other woman mentions her name in the song. It's supposed to be dedicated to their child.
What?
It's really the trashiest shit I've ever heard in my life. Anywho, the other thing we saw was that art and craft movie.
Which was really, I don't want to say it was good. It was good.
It was interesting.
It was weird.
It was very strange. So there's this dude who creates forgeries of famous artwork and then gives them away to major art institutions. Right. He doesn't sell them. He just gives them to them. He donates them, right? Under the guise of like, oh, my aunt died. Oh, this, you know, this, we're getting rid of this stuff, whatever. And he's given them to like, I think 40 or 50 major art museums, including
we're
the
talking like,
Philadelphia Museum of Art.
Yeah,
like,
University
big
of
names.
Chicago.
Yeah, huge
yeah,
place.
Chicago Art Institute.
And absolutely. But they're fake. He forges them. The thing is, it's not a crime because it's not the onus on him. Since he did not profit from them, he hasn't sold them at all. He just gives them to them. It's the museum's responsibility to verify that the piece of artwork is real or fake or forged.
And
or
y'all, when Leslie's saying he does forgeries, first of all, I would say he's probably on the autism spectrum.
According to him, he's a paranoid schizophrenic.
He's been diagnosed schizophrenic bipolar, but it seems more autistic, in particular the savant-like capability when it comes to
reproduction. Yeah.
And he's got a technique for doing it where it's almost like a flipboard. He's not quite tracing, but he puts the image right on top and goes, you know, really quick, back and forth, back and forth. And his reproductions aren't just good. They're like flawless.
Yeah, they're crazy
really good. But he does it
but
with
they're
like,
clearly not. He does, instead of chalk, it's like pencils.
Yeah, it's art pencils. It's literally art pencils.
He puts
pencils.
Them in frames from Target and Hobby Lobby. I'm
and
not
then,
joking.
No. He roughs them up using like coffee stains and shit.
I mean, really. To me, like, I was just upset that anybody was even like angry at him because those museums, like, how about you curators get your shit
well,
together? Shame on you.
Because he
said
played
that,
the part.
That,
it was what they wanted.
Well,
it
the guy
wealthy.
Said he played on two things that we love, which is art and money. And it was hard for them to term. So he's fooled a lot of curators, but one of them run register at in North Carolina that he fooled, like, got totally OCD obsessive compulsive with catching this guy, which the FBI is like, great, you caught him, but he hasn't done anything.
Right.
So well, I don't know why you're trying to catch him.
Let's be clear. The guy that first discovered him went on to like a museum curator registrar listserv, started contacting other museums. Did you have or receive any gifts that fall under these sort of circumstances, and what were they? And he identified like multiple museums that had copies
the same,
of the same
right,
thing,
the same
like six different pieces of the same art that this guy had forged were in these various museums. So now it becomes very clear that he's not just a forger, but he's a master forger, and he's a serial philanthropist.
He's doing it for like 30 years.
Yeah, literally. So he gets totally obsessed with it to the point that his job says you're not allowed to talk about it, think about it, if you're on company time, blah, 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 blah. A couple weeks later, fired, right? And so now he's like a stay-at-home dad. He's all going crazy, crazy, crazy. Like, I want to find this guy. For what? I don't know, because he hasn't committed a crime.
No.
He hasn't committed a crime.
So another guy thinks this is fascinating. He gets like all of this write-up. He's in like Newsweek, I think Time did a piece on him, a bunch of different magazines did. And one guy says, well, I'd like to, he kind of gathers all of the stuff that he's forged and he does a show. He opens a show featuring the forged artwork, kind of portrait of a forger type of thing. Really interesting. And of course invites the artist to come. And the nemesis comes as well. And he's like, I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to get into his face.
What am I going
to
say?
What am I going to say to him? And I literally said to Drew, like, this guy is not even going to, it's going to be such a blip to the actual, the forger. Cause he doesn't give a shit about this guy.
It was better than a blip. This dude lost his job and spent the last like 4 years of his life tracking this guy down. And as soon as the guy comes, he's like, who are you? Huh?
Oh yeah. I think we spent like a couple minutes together, maybe?
2 minutes.
Two or three minutes, huh? Anyways, is anybody else here good to talk to? That's what he said. I was like, oh my God.
Is there anyone else interesting to talk to? He goes, are you an artist? No.
No.
Okay.
Are there any art students here to talk to? Like, he didn't even give a shit. It was the best. It was the best. Anyways.
It was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It reminded me a little bit of the exit through the gift shop.
Yeah, a little bit.
Where there's the artist, the person who's obsessed with the artist, and the person who's obsessed with the artist becomes the focus of the movie and becomes himself an artist.
But that's just Banksy being Banksy, too. Yeah,
true. But this had that...
He never had any intention of letting that guy do a documentary about
him. But this had a similar element in that the one guy was, like, chasing him and all trying to get him. And it's like, at the end, like, you're trying to say... that this forger is a really horrible person. And at the end, you, as a, at least from the movie's perspective, he's the, like, the protagonist, like, yeah, the forger. You're like, oh, I feel bad for him.
I wouldn't even say I felt bad. I mean, there's nothing to even feel bad about. He was living his life. He was doing whatever, yeah, he needed to do, and he enjoyed doing this, and this is what he did. I just was like, you know, shame on all those museums.
Shame on all those museums. And the
no
one,
offense, but I mean, the, if a piece of artwork smells like coffee, you might want to think about it. If you can't tell a Hobby Lobby frame from one that $1 million piece of artwork should be in, I'm going to say that's something you should be able to notice. It literally was from
Target. I'm going to start buying more fucking frames from Hobby Lobby.
No, we don't go to Hobby Lobby, babe. They're evil.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go to
Target, though. He got some from Goodwill. He would just get like cheap frames that he would just rough up. So to me, it's like, yeah, I don't know how much effort was put into that. But it does make me doubt a lot of artwork in a lot of museums because I'm always skeptical about art in general, as you sure know. I'm always like, yeah, is that really? How do you know?
Well, that was my takeaway, was that, so he made a duplicate, a forgery,
yeah,
mm-hmm, but held up to the exact, you know, piece of art from centuries ago to the very naked eye, almost indiscernible,
yeah,
right? And then even to the, like, trained eye, almost indiscernible.
Right.
Only under, like, magnification and, like, chrome mass chromatograph of the material, you could be like, okay. And then also like a black light, some
which
other things.
That part really pissed me off, because, yeah, if all you could do is put a black light and you could see that it was not the original, it's like, well,
you fail from having a black light.
Y'all just fail, generally speaking.
Anyway, if all those things, you know, if it's not inherently different to you and I, to the, when my eye sees it and it's converted to an electrical impulse and it enters my brain, the two pieces of work are identical, yet one is ascribed, you know, innumerable value, hundreds of millions of dollars, and
right,
because it's from this master and this individual, and it was an original from them. It wasn't a copy. It was, you know, came from their brain. The genesis was them. So maybe there's that difference. But this other thing that looks exactly like it is deemed worthless,
right?
And it's, I don't know, to me, it seems kind of like, you know, a little bit like that thing we were talking before. Like, what is it that music we like? Do we like what we like? Do we like what people say we like? And do we like it because it was inherently likable to somebody else, right? Like, there's movies that you and I will talk about, like, oh, I fucking hate The Piano. Everyone loves that goddamn movie. I can't stand it, right? Or what was the other one we always talk about? English Patient. Oh, for
right,
shit's sake. You know, Oscar this, that thing was like 3 hours of pain to me. But a lot of people really like it, and many, many years from now, people are like, oh, The English Patient. Oh, really great. I love The English Patient. Or the movie where they didn't talk, the art movie that won this last year or 2 years ago.
Oh, The Artist?
The Artist. Mm. I never saw it. I was like, they don't talk? I don't know if I can get behind that, right? But people, I feel like there's definitely a group of people that don't necessarily love it on its surface, but they love it because other people have said that they love it, and it's something that they aspire to love, and they want to be seen as a certain way as someone who loves the movie The Artist.
Yeah.
And then it starts to snowball itself. And, you know, you can have that with Picasso, Renoir, Rembrandt. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Birdman's like that to me this year.
What do you mean?
The movie Birdman.
I don't follow that it was that, it,
that people like to be like, oh, it's so amazing. And it's like, oh, it was all right.
Okay, I got you.
It was not amazing. Top five was fucking amazing. Birdman, not amazing. It was a good movie.
I would say we didn't.
I gotta say
we talked about it. I thought
Michael Keaton was amazing.
Performance
was amazing, but the movie, nah.
He was amazing.
Edward Norton.
Yeah, Norton stole
he's
the
fucking
show.
Hilarious.
Out of
that he should
shit.
Only do comedy from now on.
Yeah,
he's a so
fucking
funny.
Riot. And I thought it was a good script. It was almost like somebody.
Like I said, it was a good movie.
It was somebody. It was, you know what it was? It was like somebody trying to pull off Charlie Kaufman and not quite succeeding.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's all right.
You know, there's something to be.
Anyway, the movie was called Art and Craft. It's about Mark Landis.
What it take
to catch a fake is the tagline for the movie. It starts out as a cat and mouse art caper rooted in questions of authorship and authenticity, but what emerges is an intimate story of obsession and the universal need for community, appreciation, and purpose. So I'll put the link to the movie. It was very good. Yeah, we liked it very much.
It was good.
I think that's it, huh, for this ep.
How long is it? What do we do?
Hour 18, so we did pretty good. It's all 2 Chainz, Paul. 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz.
Good job, babe.
Anyways, high five.